Listen, wife's going out tonight. I'm going to have the guys over. We're going to watch the fish on the big screen. I'm going to grill up some brats. I got a micro brew chilling in my wet bar, and I was going to warm up some ziti. Why don't you come by if you got some triple fried pizza dough or some kind of frozen meatballs or whatever it is. You can warm it up in my microwave, or you can warm it up back at home. Bring it over pipe and hop, and if you want to bring over a vegetable medley, a crudite, figure out how much lunch meat you can spare, maybe bring over 1.5-2 pounds of Black Forest ham, maybe a Dijon mustard spread, any kind of dessert, maybe a German chocolate cake or something like that. I tell you what would make you a big hit with the dudes is get some key lime pie, a la mode. I'm talking about ice cream on the side.
Right.
And you have got to have a bite of my homemade ziti. I'm just going to warm her up. She's been in the freeze.
Thanks for the invite. But
you know, I love her, those hot mozzarella sticks. Cube them up, put them in some marinara sauce. You have them on standby. Of course, you can't go wrong with some sour cream and onion so long as you bring ridged chips.
Yeah.
TBTM.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Weekend. Friday, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying, partying, yeah. Partying, partying, yeah. Fun, fun, fun.
Stop! Stop telling this! I'm gonna puke.
So look, why don't you download my blog? It's free. Of course we do appreciate donations.
Anybody know what this is? Huh? All of this is the digestive system. And now we're going to have a couple of guys who's going to give us a presentation about what happens when the digestive system isn't working properly.
Well, this isn't the way it was supposed to happen. Hey everybody, welcome to this Friday installment of TBTL.
It's party time, chumps.
I'm Andrew Walsh, of course, and I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Andrew, what's going on? Where's Luke? I thought you guys were going to all be together in Seattle today to reveal the big song of the summer winner. What is happening, Andrew? Well, first of all, simmer down.
Simmer down, Stu.
We will be revealing the official 2018 TBTL song of the summer in a little bit, as promised, and yes, Luke Burbank will be here doing it with us, but he won't be here. He's not here in person. I'll explain that later. First, let me introduce you to a guy who is here in person with me. You probably know him best as the smiling face serving you a double whipped latte with soy at your neighborhood Starbucks. He's known in my house as my actual fake brother, and here he comes now. There it is. Hey, it's David from the basement. How you doing?
Hey there, fake Hermano. How's it going?
Good, good, good. First of all, I'd like to point out that that was an even longer basement
I love it.
Than usual.
That one's
so
great.
Just remember that when Christmas time comes around. I'm the one who gave you the full gate sound. How are you doing?
Doing great. So good.
Are you nervous? I mean, you are here officially as the song of the summer kind of ambassador, I guess, or overlord.
Yeah, I got some butterflies for sure.
Yeah,
for sure,
yeah. I mean, you've never done this before.
No.
You never forget your first time. I think you're going to do great. Everybody's really rooting for you, David.
Wow, thank you. I feel very supported about it. Thank you.
Now, I mentioned Luke, of course, your brother, your real brother, is going to be joining us. He's just not here in person. He's on the phone now, but since it's rare that I actually get to introduce Luke, I want to do it right if I can. I'm going to say he's a man who says what he wants when he wants, and he doesn't care whether or not you like it.
It's America's favorite equal opportunity offender.
He is, of course, Luke Burbank, and he's on the line now from an airport somewhere, right, Luke?
I'm a man of few words, Andrew, but those words will be uttered from a rented Nissan leaving the Avis parking lot at Seattle Tacoma International Airport.
How did I not use that tape to introduce you? I am so mad at myself. Of course, I feel like I trolled you. I feel like you were waiting for that, and I never gave it to you.
This has actually already been extremely instructional for me. One, I didn't realize you'd used a different DFTB sound effect. Oh. And I was like, okay, he has a point. That sound effect is too long. you, I wouldn't have known that that was actually an extended mix. It's something about being on the phone as opposed to being the person, I guess, sort of driving the bus, as it were, where you just kind of you exist sort of at the pleasure of the person who's doing the spiel.
Right.
And this is good for me. This is a good experience because I'm walking a mile in your shoes, Andrew.
It's easy, right? It's definitely better to be the person who gets to sit back.
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I think there are some parts of it that are better and some parts that are not great. Like, for instance, I don't have any say in how you introduce me.
Right.
And so I sort of understand how I try to pick something that seems funny and that isn't like an obvious dragging of you. But sometimes I'll accidentally do it just because a piece of tape will make me laugh. So it's weird to sit here in anticipation waiting to hear how I'm going to be introduced and what tape you're going to use. So I'm just saying that I think I have a little bit more, 5% more empathy for your typical gig on the show. Although weirdly, I have less empathy for David, and I don't know why that is.
For some reason,
I'm mad at him.
I'm not very rootable, am I?
Over time, funny. You start, you meet David, and you love him. You're like, he's the best guy in the world. I couldn't like him anymore. And then you think the more you get to know him, the more you have to build on. But it turns out he just gets worse and worse.
No, see, I'm a man of many words, and none of those words count.
He's the 2018 Mariners of brothers. Oh. He is so dazzling, and then he regresses to the mean. And it's hard for everybody. Hey, speaking of which, everybody get your tickets. September 26th, TBTL night at the Mariners. It will be a Wednesday night. There will be awesome t-shirts. I ran into a 10, Nick, in the Alaska Airlines waiting area yesterday, who's coming to the game. He was on his way back from Boston. We chatted. He will be there. I ran into some 10s last night in Portland after LiveWire concluded, and I think they're going to be trying to come. So this is the place to be on that Wednesday night, September 26th. You go to mariners.com/TBTL to get your tickets.
And not to sound like a used car salesman, but we did check in with the Mariners on yesterday, I guess it was, and tickets are going pretty quickly. There are still some available, but they're not an infinite supply, so I would recommend getting them now. David, are you going?
Yeah, well, so I got the night off. I'm definitely going. Do I need to bring my own ticket?
Oh, it looks like
provided. Since I'm kind of an employee.
Oh, wow.
I don't know what the deal is.
Are you Danny Kaye from White Christmas, just like rubbing your injured shoulder? That's a very outdated reference, but if there's any young who would get it, it's David, because our mother
every year
raised us watching White Christmas every single year.
Well, I'm an old and I don't get it. Does somebody take
David,
a fall to try to sue somebody?
Well, so are you talking about when he pulls his calf muscle and he's like acting like he can't walk on his calf to try to distract the general, captain, whatever?
No, but that is another classic Danny Kaye moment. No, the story is Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby were in the war together, and I think Bing Crosby was he was the commanding officer, or at least he was in charge of Danny Kaye, and there was a wall that collapsed, and Danny Kaye moved Bing Crosby out of the way, but then the wall partially collapsed on him, and it hurt his arm. And then they go on to be sort of theatrical producers, and anytime Danny Kaye wants to get a favor out of Bing Crosby, every time he wants to get Bing Crosby to do something he doesn't want to do, he rubs his phantom injured arm to remind him of what he did for him, lo, those many years ago in the war.
Oh, man, so much of my weird, lanky, tall dude persona is so much based just on Danny Kaye. Are you kidding me?
Tiff, you guys, you guys watch so many more Christmas movies than me growing up, yet I have a memory of one, and I think I honestly think I only saw this once, but for some reason, it really stuck in my brain, and I don't think it's famous. Do you guys know about a movie called It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, or It Came Upon the Midnight Clear, and it has Mickey Rooney in it, and Mickey Rooney... Mm-hmm. He's old. He's Mickey Rooney age. Mm-hmm. Like, Mickey Rooney's only been one age his entire life, and he's that age in this movie, and he dies. And he goes to heaven, and somehow he talks St. Peter, or who's ever in charge of that shit, to give him another chance on Earth. maybe just to spend one more day on Earth with his grandson on Christmas. Did that ring a bell to anybody?
He says, he makes a deal with St. Peter. He's like, give me one more day to play a racist character in the movie Breakfast.
Oh, that's right. That's
just
it.
Let me put on the makeup right. One more time.
Right.
Yeah.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. No. It was Andy Rooney in this movie. No, just
oh. I want one more day on Earth. That makes me bad.
That's not, you know what, I don't know if it's because you're on the phone or that is not bad. Maybe it's all the CBS Sunday morning commentaries you're doing. Yeah. Maybe it's like just you're wearing the mask.
Really, yeah, you've been stretching that
it's
muscle.
It's rubbing off on me. Well, that, I mean, no joke. I know I said this on the show previously, but honestly, doing those commentaries, I don't think I'm Andy Rooney, but I started to understand or have an appreciation for why all of his commentaries sort of sounded the same, because you have to have a take and. And it just the form and the format just lends itself eventually to kind of seeming like a crank. Because you're like, what's going on with Twitch?
Right.
Everybody stop reclining your airplane seat.
Right.
It's just like it's all it kind of becomes. Speaking of airplane seats, if it's all right, if I can kind of backseat drive here,
please.
from the rental car. I just wanted to explain why it is, and thank you both honestly for your extreme patience today in what has been a moving target. Of me trying to join you for the show. I was so excited to do today's show. We had it all worked out. I was going to fly up to Seattle, jump in a ride share, come up to Walsh and Doormat. We're going to do the show, reveal the song of the summer winner, and then I was going to hustle back to SeaTac and fly back home to the Bay City tonight. And there is one of the runways at SeaTac is allegedly under construction. I say allegedly because I recently spent 20 minutes circling it from the air, and I didn't see shit going on there. But allegedly, they're working on one of the runways, which means that there's all kinds of traffic issues here. And all of my flights, all of my base are belong to SeaTac Airport, and that my flight from Bellingham to Portland goes via SeaTac, and my flight from Portland home goes via SeaTac. And it just got completely... It got completely torque Lewis'd today. I'm behind a car that has a tow package called Torque Lift, and it just reminded me of one of those Key and Peele football names, one of which is Torque, and then the sound of a drill, and then Lewis. So that's why I said that weird thing. I'm just going to narrate things in my field of vision for the next hour. Anyway, today was a good chance for me to continue to remember that the folks who are at the tip of the spear with the airline are not making the decisions. They're not doing anything wrong. They are just the bearers of bad news. But it was just sort of one thing after another. Yesterday, my flight from Bellingham to Seattle was delayed because of the airport, not because of the airline. Like, they wouldn't let the plane leave Bellingham and go to SeaTac because SeaTac, oh, here comes this is an ambulance strafing us on the left. No, we're good, I think. Anyway, yesterday I got to the airport from Bellingham to Seattle right as my flight to Portland was about to depart. And I asked the folks, I said, hey, this is like 1 mile away, literally in another part of the airport where I'm trying to run to. Could you call them and see if they will be able to hold the plane or not? Because the backup plan is for me to stay in this terminal and catch the next flight out. And they said, our phones, we can't call the other terminal. And I thought, that's amazingly bad planning. How is it that you are not able to call the other, like the desk of the same airline that you all work for? Like, you can't pick up that phone and call over there? So,
sir,
so
we know how phones work. I don't think you do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, your Seinfeld is better than that. Maybe it is the phone line. So I hot-footed over there, and I get there, of course, as they've closed the door. And now I'm not kidding. I'm like a subway ride and a long jog from where I just was and where I need to return to. And so it was just a bunch of stuff like that. And then this morning, I was the one flight that was legit canceled. Like, everything was delayed. And then mine just said canceled, like some planes, trains, and automobiles shit. And so anyway, it's now gotten to the point where I am just – I'm in a rental car, and I'm at least – Olympia.
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit. So are you at the place where there's no cell cover? No, I'm sorry. Where are you? You're where right now?
I'm now. I said I was jokingly. I said I was north of the Mason-Dixon, aka Olympia. But I'm actually not. I'm just now only a few feet from the airport, trying to get on Interstate 5. So I've basically I've moved to car transportation now, which is a bad idea because traffic is going to be a real bearcat between here and Bellingham. In fact, it'll probably take as long as waiting for my evening flight. But I don't know, just something I just needed to regain the autonomy in this travel experience and feel and regain agency. And so, by the way, that wouldn't be a bad name for a travel service, Regain Travel Agency. are there travel agents? Do travel agents exist anymore? That's a good question.
They do certainly incorporate, like, because, like, for APM, if we're flying, we have to go through, you know, the software that's called Concur, but then that loops in that travel agency that is like a third party, right? It's like Fox Worldwide Travel or whatever.
Right.
Shout out to Fox Worldwide Travel.
Anyway, so again, my apologies to the listeners for the poor quality of my voice here, although I do hear it's improved my Andy Rooney. And apologies to both of you. DFTB, I know you've got to get, you're between your two jobs, as in not unemployed, but literally in between your two jobs right now. Andrew, you've been waiting around all day for me, so thank you guys. I appreciate it, and sorry for the delay.
Oh, no problem here. We will take a break here, and I'm trying to think. When we come back, like, how are we on time? Should we do some top stories and push off the – I mean, I know that everybody is on the edge of their seats to find out who's going to win the Song of the Summer. Should we do that thing where, like, local
personally.
News? Yeah, did that sound sarcastic? I didn't mean it to sound sarcastic. I was being earnest.
No. I think everyone is.
I'm like Dave Foley in that Kids in the Hall sketch. Why does everybody – He just has an accent that makes him sound like he's sarcastic all the time. He can't figure out why he can't make friends. But should we push that off then and do like what the local news does when they have one like story that they keep on like teasing and teasing and they put it all the way at the end? Should we go for something like that?
I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Hey, what's in your kids' vitamins could be killing them.
Right.
More at 11.
All right.
Hey, yo, could we get that? Could we get an update on that before A Bachelor in Paradise?
I was literally actually about to mention Bachelor in Paradise and how they do that same thing. They show you exactly what's going to happen, but then they don't actually show you the thing happening until the very end of the episode. But you keep watching because you just want to see. You want to see how Jordan and Crystal, you know, work it out. Luke, by the way, you're watching that, right? You're watching Bachelor in Paradise.
Well, you know what? I watched the first like three or four episodes, and then I got sucked into kind of an NFL watching vortex. Mm. And during my NFL watching,
just classic hetero dude shit. Sure.
You just in your down
give
in
it
man
a
cave,
try, buddy boy.
Just
give
like
it a try.
No, you know, but I was at Buffalo Wild Wings and Weck by myself eating crudité. Which is funny that Tim Heidecker mentions crudité that opening piece of tape, because I was literally sitting in B-dubs eating a bunch of celery and carrots like a bro, like a dude. Anyway, so I missed a bunch of the in-between episodes. I don't want to body shame Jordan. I went and looked up Jordan's modeling page.
Yeah, he should not be. I don't know why he's a model. Like, it's... When you look at the other dudes there, they all look like models. He's the only one that actually doesn't look like a model. But
and I'm not saying this in any way to body shame him, although I think he could handle it. I think if he's a model, I would think he would.
No, he couldn't handle it. He's a crazy person. Sorry, I just want to make it clear. He's very crazy. He would not be able to handle it. Sorry, that's based on all of my knowledge now from watching it. But please go on.
But he's his. You know, everyone has their, and this is again only interesting to Carrie Beth Bolden Burbank, David from the Basement, and any of our listeners who are up on their Bachelor in Paradise. But his whole sort of like identity is male model, and he is of course a very nice looking guy. If he was our friend, he'd be our most handsome friend probably. But he's not
even more than Camaro
like model. I mean, I guess I'd have to leave that decision to you. There is a guy at the Bellingham Airport who is a dead ringer for Camaro Kev, by the way.
He works at the Bellingham. What is he, security?
Yeah. Hmm. He's with TSA and is a very nice fellow. And I want to take a picture of him and send it to Camaro Kev, but it's almost like I've never had it end well when I tell someone, oh, I saw someone who looks like you. None of us look like what we think we look like, I guess, for better or for worse. But that Jordan guy, I feel like he doesn't seem like male model material to me, whatever that is supposed to mean.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean,
it's a big tent.
It's subjective.
It is.
Heard, at least.
Okay.
I actually hearing you guys talk about that, by the way. I do not watch that stuff. As a matter of fact, you were texting me, Luke, the other day, and you mentioned that you were finishing up an episode of that before Hard Knocks or some. I can't remember why it came up in the text message that you were watching Bachelor in Paradise. And, you know, I like listening to the Kevin and Bean show, and they often have segments that are dedicated just to watching The Bachelor. I think it's who's the radio guy down there? Papadopoulos. I'm saying his name wrong. I used to listen to him all the time. I was a big fan, and now I can't even think of his name. But he would come on their show and talk about it, and it's always so tempting. I've said this thing a million times on the show. I love hearing people just like...
Petros,
right, from Petros and Money.
From the Petros and Money show.
Right. But anyway, I love hearing people just geek out about shit. And when people are talking, even if they're fighting about The Bachelor or whatever, or you guys going back and forth, it makes me want to watch it. But then the other day, she wasn't watching it. A movie ended and that was on. Mm-hmm. And there's something about that type of production. Maybe I could get into it, but in the 30 seconds that I heard and saw, mm-hmm. I was like, get thee away from me. I did not want to be in that world.
I'm very
not
much that
today,
way with the Real Housewives type of deal. That is not my, like, I'm a Jersey Shore watcher. I love, love, love trash TV, but I cannot watch any of the Real Housewives stuff. Mm-hmm. It just, I don't know, doesn't do it for me.
You know what
I
would say, though? There's a couple of things I think working against kind of entering one of these shows mid-season. One, they've been parodied so much and so effectively now that, like, when you're watching one and you don't really know who the people are, it just seems like you're watching something on Comedy Central that definitely stars Michael Ian Black and, you know, the sort of typical cast of characters who were in all of those.
Didn't Ken Marino do a parody of it? I swear Ken Marino did it.
Yeah, Burning Love,
Burning
I believe.
Love,
and
yeah.
It was actually really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. One thing is that when you watch one, when you have not cultivated a relationship with the show from day one, they all seem like a parody. But I will say this. It reminds me of, like, the show House Hunters in that, and this is maybe just because I'm kind of obsessed with houses and you know, I don't know, people fixing up houses. Like, if I'm watching House Hunters, I don't have to care about the couple. I don't have to care about two of the three houses. But if at any point I decide that one of the houses is the superior place for them to pick, and it could be an apartment in Prague, it could be a house they're buying in Tucson, as soon as I've made a decision that one of the places is better than the other two, I'm locked in to watching it, because now I'm just like, I got to see. And the same thing with these kind of dating shows. As soon as I develop a strong opinion about one of the people, like it could be the main person if it's the Bachelor or Bachelorette. What I like about Bachelor in Paradise is that it's not just one like female and then 100 male suitors. It's a bunch of people of different genders all kind of pursuing each other. So there's like more to attach yourself to, I guess. But as soon as I decide one person is either good or bad, they've got me. Like House Hunters has me as soon as I decide on a house.
Who's the person? Who's the person that you've decided?
Well, I didn't get – I like,
sorry to
I like
belabor
the guy
this so
who's
much.
A, I like the guy who was a wrestler who did the luchador thing. He seemed nice. And I don't know how things shaped up for him. You know what I'm talking about?
Are you behind?
I finished the entire season.
Well, remember when they went on the date? He got a date card, and they went on a date, and they went to like a Mexican wrestling match. And he is a wrestler, and he like kind of got called into the fray. Obviously, it was set up by the producers, and then he did a bunch of really cool ass wrestling moves. And
I might have missed that date. Wait, were they wrestling around in the mud? Is that what it was?
No, nope.
There was a date.
It was like a real kind of wrestling event. Anyway, that guy, I forget his name. He had kind of a little goatee. He seemed cool. And then I like Grocer Joe. He seems like,
oh man, you like him now. You like him now. Wait till you get to upset.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Interessante.
Man.
I'll tell you who I didn't like. The guy with the hair who came sweeping
Leo,
in.
Classic Leo.
Give me
Leo.
A break.
Classic Leo.
I know.
Oh, man.
Speaking
that
of wrestling, I know they put him in
jabroni.
Just to be the heel. Seriously. Stuntman from L.A., self-described stuntman, who just was like he – and by the way, he was like red meat for any – other for any I think particular any guys watching the show. If you're a guy like me, I forget what this was about, Andrew, earlier this week. We were talking about something kind of that shouldn't have threatened me. And I was talking about it, you said, and then you felt threatened, and I was like, you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could remember the topic. It was a completely accurate call by you. But it's like, this is a guy that when he walks onto a reality dating show, I feel threatened by him, which is insane, because I'll never meet him. But he's like tall with a bunch of hair, and he seems goofy, but all the women are like, you know, I chihuahua. And I'm just like, please tell me that's not what they want, because I'm not that.
What does Carrie think of that guy?
She thought he was totally hot. No, I'm kidding. Just saying that to annoy her. I am 100% saying that to annoy her, and I will be hearing from her later about that comment. I think she was not, well, let me put it this way. I don't think she was as put off by him as I was initially. I was put off by this guy immediately because he has hair very much like Kenny G's.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big, tall guy, and he's a guy who obviously has not had any trouble attracting women in his life. He's very confident about it. He's very experienced with it. And there's just that kind of something pheromonal and alpha about that, that even through the television sitting in Bellingham, Washington, on a couch covered in dog hair, it threatens me. And I don't know why.
Wow.
It will never apply to my life specific to this guy, but he turned out to be a jerk, by the way. So, I watched long enough. I dipped in after the football game on Sunday. I dipped in for a minute and saw him, and I was like, that guy's going to be a jerk. And within like 5 minutes, he was like making out with someone behind someone's back, and I was like,
yeah,
vindicated. And then I just went back to sleep.
Hey, I realize today is going to be a pretty heavy TV day, but I think that's a good thing. You wanted to talk about a show. Luke, I'm going to give a real hot tease here before we go to a break, and we'll come back and we'll talk about this, because you put on the show sheet that there's a show that you've been watching that you want to recommend, and coincidentally, I watched the trailer for it yesterday, and it looked really bad to me, and we'll tell you what that is coming up in a second. Also,
you know who else didn't like that show, Andrew? You know who else didn't like it? Huh. Leo from Bachelor in Paradise. So that's who you're in league with.
We'll talk about that.
You know,
that
Leo
in
and Andrew are just alphas, you know?
Right.
That's the thing. I know.
I can't believe how well we work together, considering how threatened you must be by me all the time, Luke. I'm surprised you even let me in your house. We're going to talk about that, and also something that I think you teased yesterday, which is that story of the former Cosby Show actor who was kind of discovered working in a Trader Joe's, and he was kind of mocked for it, but now it's opening some doors for him. So we'll talk about that, and of course, we will be announcing the official winner of this year's Song of the Summer, David. How you feeling? You okay? You calmed down a little bit?
Feeling so good.
Okay, just
about
calm
it.
Down about it. You're going to do great, I promise. All right, so all that's coming up on TBTL in just a second.
I don't like those other guys looking at your curves. I don't like you walking around with physical jerks. Say and do is getting on my nerves. Someday we'll be lucky to be picking up the perks. Cause when they pull the shutters down and throw up in the dark, they'll find that all the dogs outside bite much worse than they bark. Here we are living in paradise.
You know, I don't know if I like the tone of this song. You know, I love Elvis Costello. I picked it because it's called Living in Paradise. I haven't heard it in a really long time. Does it begin with him saying, I don't like other guys looking at your curves? Does he have some real body ownership of a woman in this song? Am I reading into
it? I don't really listen to lyrics. That's not a big thing for me.
Now you decide to start listening.
That's why I don't listen to lyrics. Every time I listen to lyrics, I get burnt. I can't listen to the song anymore.
No good comes from it. Yeah, I feel like we have a version of this conversation so frequently. Like, I've so many things. I think if you sort of go back and you listen to them, it's. I mean, I maybe there can be. I'm not trying to make a blanket statement, but it's just there needs to be a category of things that are like, yeah, we wouldn't say that now, but. But also, I mean, we before we were recording today, we were talking about hip-hop off air. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, you know, as we often say now, problematic hip-hop lyrics. I don't feel like we should walk away from Elvis Costello or even maybe walk away from that song. Like, would I listen to a song now where a guy says, I don't like other guys looking at you? No, but if we don't Also, it could. How about this? I mean, could it be that Elvis Costello's got a problem? Like, he's addressing it. Like, you know, I don't enjoy other guys looking at you. I know that's kind of a hang up. I need to work on that.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm giving him a lot. I'm giving him a lot of slack here, but I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what isn't an offensive line, I guess, at this point.
I think for me, though, I think I'm especially sensitive to it. Like, if I, you know, this is off of, oh, crap, I can't remember the name of the album, but I'm pretty sure it was, I think it might be self-titled. It was, I think, the first one I ever had by him. And so, like, I've heard the song a bunch. It never really struck me. I think I'm, and I think rightfully so, I think I would defend this. I think that I am a little bit more conscientious of what we're putting out there when we're playing things on the show as well, right? Like, I listen to tons of music that is, like, you know, I don't have, you know, I can't necessarily morally defend in some ways, but I like it for whatever reasons. But there are also things I'm like, okay, yeah, but would I play that on TBTL? And I mean, listen, I don't think that we made a mistake by playing Elvis Costello on TBTL. What were we? Oh, God, I saw some of this before I left Facebook. So when I had the women on from Battle Tactics for Your Sexist Workplace, we were talking about stuff, and then I came back in with a song. Oh, by Extreme, More Than Words, right? The song More Than Words. And some people on Facebook were, like, kind of pretty upset, or certainly, like, pointing out, like, that was very inappropriate to come back with More Than Words, especially given the context of what you guys are talking about, considering it's a song all about, like, forcing a woman into being more physical than she might want to be. Like, I need more than words to show you.
Oh my God, I never even thought about that.
And I reread that a bunch of times. I mean, I don't want to be like, I don't know, there are so many things that I hold true that somebody's just slightly more small C conservative would be like, Walsh, just like, give it a rest, you're overthinking it. And I don't want to be like, guys, give it a rest, you're overthinking it, just because I happen to like that song. I understand that interpretation, maybe that is it. But it's also like the only physical act I think they mention is maybe holding hands and maybe kissing. And I mean, I think that it could also just be more broadly like more than words. I want physical. It didn't seem super kind of rapey to me, but
all you have to do is close your eyes and just reach out your hands and touch me. Hold me close. Don't ever let me go. I'm doing that sitting in traffic, by the way, on Interstate 405, for the record. I did not need any kind of a genius.com lyric search. That is how embedded in my brain.
Well, I don't want you to worry. I'll tell you what. I'm going to beep out all of the objectionable Elvis Costello lyrics, okay, before the show post, so nobody will have to actually hear that. Meantime, though, how about we hit some top stories?
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
So, Luke, I'm going to hand the reins over to you because I saw on the show sheet that you wanted to talk about this TV show you've been watching. What is it?
Kidding, starring Jim Carrey and Judy Greer,
and also
Kathleen Keener.
Oh, that's right. I saw her in the trailer, and also it's a Michel Gondry joint, right? Isn't he the showrunner, executive producer, or something?
He's the director of it, and that was what kind of piqued my interest because you know Jim Carrey. We could spend hours on Jim Carrey, but maybe we don't have the time for it. I'll just say, I probably wouldn't rush out and see a Jim Carrey vehicle these days, except
the Mask
Michel Gondry
3.
Is who. Okay, if he can get Cameron Diaz to sign off, I'm in. But Michel Gondry is who directed Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which I thought was an amazing film, and I thought Jim Carrey at his absolute best.
Yep.
And this show called Kidding, which is on Showtime. Jim Carrey plays basically a Mr. Rogers type character, and he's from Ohio, and he sort of has a family that's falling apart. His I guess you could say soon to be ex-wife is played by Judy Greer, aka Up Here Michael, Up Here Kitty from Arrested Development. And what's happened? I'm not giving anything away, but what's happened is his name I think is Jeff Pickles, like his sort of beloved children's television character is Jeff Pickles, and they had twin children, and there was a car accident, and one of their kids passed away, and it's just thrown their family life into total disarray. And he is, what you can tell, I've watched the first two episodes, you can tell that Jim Carrey's character is cruising for a meltdown. Mm-hmm. But it's not, hasn't happened yet, and I don't really know how it's going to turn out. It's kind of intense to watch, but it's also really interesting. And what is, to me, almost the most delightful part of the show is this world they've created for this TV guy, Jeff Pickles. The kids show that he does is fascinating. The puppetry is really great. The kind of set design, like, I find myself really entertained. It's sort of part Pee-wee's Playhouse, part, what is it? Who are the Sid and Marty Croft or whatever?
Oh, right. The zoop-de-doo, look how drugged out our Muppets
weird,
are. I believe that's the official name
weird
of the show. No,
yeah.
I've looked it up on IMDb. It's zoop-de-doo, look how drugged out our Muppets are. Yeah.
Yep. And we've got a show title. Anyway, the actual show that the sort of kids show that he's the host of is actually itself kind of entertaining, and I don't think that's on accident. So I'm only two episodes in. Maybe I'm just at the point in my life where I can't give anything a ringing endorsement ever again. So I can't say it's like the best television you'll ever watch, and who knows. When the Jeff Pickles character finally does blow a gasket, if he does, maybe they won't handle it the way I want them to handle it. Maybe he'll never blow a gasket. I don't really know, but as of right now, I'm still very interested. If they had three episodes out, I would have watched the third episode. Like, I'm more interested in it than I was in Lodge 49, for instance, mm-hmm. because, again, I think the acting is pretty good, and you just kind of don't know what's going to happen next, and I find that kind of entertaining. And Frank Langella is in it, and Frank Langella plays basically Jeff Pickles' dad, who's also the sort of executive producer of this multi-million dollar, you know, Mr. Rogers-esque empire. And obviously he just wants to keep the money rolling in as the Jeff Pickles character is slowly melting down. And so that tension is also very interesting to watch.
Well, I will give it a shot. And I mentioned before the break that I had been kind of talking shit about it a little bit. I watched the trailer. And the thing is, I was really exploring my emotions about this, because obviously I have a bit of a Jim Carrey blockage myself. Oh God! Could I, of all the words, if I'm going to use a word that doesn't even make sense, did I have to go with a blockage? But you know what I mean. A mental block is what I meant to say. A blockage. I have a Jim Carrey blockage. Angioplasty. You spend one night in the hospital. They put a balloon. You're good. Anyway. I have a mental block when it comes to him, clearly, but I did before, Spotless Mind as well, Eternal Sunshine as well, and Eternal Sunshine is wonderful, almost flawless, I think. I love it. I love Michelle Gondry. I love what they did with that. And we have to admit that he can act. Like, I don't prefer most of his movies, but, like, and I don't really like him off screen either. As you said, Luke, we don't have enough time to get into all of his kind of
wackiness.
Yeah, what's been going on lately. But when I saw that he was going to be in a new Michelle Gondry project, I was like, well, I will definitely be interested in this. I don't want to write it off because of my feelings about him. But I watched the trailer, and my initial reaction was just kind of like, this is the type of thing that I felt like I would have been very interested in like the late 90s, early 2000s, because I felt like the film community was just starting to explore that idea of like these children's character, like the juxtaposition between somebody putting on a face for children, but slowly going through a mental situation. I can't think
We're
of other
a little
examples.
Overly saturated at the moment. I mean, with the whole "Won't you be my neighbor?" and Mr. Rogers passing
and
in
I
general,
was thinking,
it's
like
a very
like,
sort of on topic.
I feel like Robin Williams did one. Like, people who are funny do these things where it's kind of like, oh, but what happens when the clown takes off his mask kind of thing? Or what is he hiding? And I watched the trailer and I thought it was pretty beautiful, but it just seemed to me, or even like maybe like Broken Flowers a little bit with Bill Murray. Like, there was a time when I was obsessed with that kind of thing. And this, I just watched it and I was like, I feel like I've seen that before. But I'm not arguing with you, Luke, because you've actually done something called Watch the Show, which I have not. And I'm actually glad you talked me into it, because I had my misgivings, and I emailed somebody who I knew had watched it, and she had said, yeah, I gave it two episodes and I'm not going back. And so I was going to write it off completely, but I will definitely give it a two-episode spin. Maybe this weekend, and I can report back to you on Monday.
Yeah, I am what's maintaining my interest is the fact that he hasn't melted down yet, mm-hmm. and maybe he won't. In other words, the show doesn't start. Sorry, I'm standing outside the car. More on that in a minute. I had to pull over. We were having some technical challenges, and I realized, I'm in the parking lot of a Burger King, and then I realized I have to pee so bad. I'm doing a jig in the parking lot. So what I might do is turn the show over to you guys for about, I don't know, a minute and a half, and then I'll mute you. I'll mute the phone. So
that
you won't
never.
Hear
oh yeah,
and
then, that's never gone wrong before. Don't worry. We turned your mic off. Go ahead. Go to the restroom. You'll be in there mumbling to yourself. Of course, I killed him.
Of course, I killed him.
Yeah, right. The Naked Gun. That didn't end well.
Yeah.
The Durst movie. No, what I was going to say is, the show does not start with him like being, you know, won't you be my neighbor? And then he turns around and walks off the set, and immediately starts like chain smoking and like fighting mm-hmm. with a drug dealer or something
like Bad Santa.
They have it, like is that. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's exactly. It is not has not yet been Bad Santa. And what's interesting is this character, this Jeff Pickles character, is he's really that kind of very gentle soul on and off camera as far as the world of this children's TV show, which I think is a more interesting place to go with it than just, this faker. And the comedy and the tension is all between this, like, him on screen versus off screen. It was clever, I think, to have him be consistent.
Well, I will definitely give it a shot. And I think what we should do now is I have an idea. You, Luke, are probably thankful that there is a restroom you can use right now. We, of course, are thankful for the folks who donate to TBTL.
Oh, so I'm why don't mute. I'll be right back.
You go ahead and mute that, and we're going to say thank you. So nice. I love this song.
I love it
so much.
Good.
I wish I had given you a list of the donors of the day. We could have gone back and forth thanking them NPR style.
Yeah. Oh, well.
You could have been Michelle Norris. I don't know who that makes me. I can't even think of another NPR person right now. I know.
You think I can?
I don't know. I mean, but it's really embarrassing. I work in public radio. I'm in my head a little bit too much. But let's thank these folks. Benjamin Quick. Ben Quick of Marysville, Washington. Alex. Nope. We're going to go with Alice Weimers. Possibly Weimers?
Oh, okay.
Sometimes W's sound like V's.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And Gabe Clare of Davidson, North Carolina. Kirsten Medhurst of Fairfax, Virginia, Kathy Stieber of Farmington, Michigan, and Sarah Golden of Chicago, Illinois, potentially my favorite city.
Yeah, you know, what's great is Luke always has something interesting to say about every single place.
I know.
Place.
Well, he's
How
been
does
to
he
every
know?
House.
Yeah,
well,
he
I'll tell you what. Let's go through them. Marysville. I've never been to Marysville. Davidson, North Carolina. I was never there once. Fairfax, Virginia.
You know, the only thing I hope
are any
those
of these
places
donors
are staying
from
safe.
Inside the bathroom of a Burger King?
Did you get busy in that Burger King bathroom?
Allow me to amaze thee. No, there's a line. First of all, there's a code, which I had to get while I was muting you guys.
What is it?
What
is it?
Line to get in.
Give us the code and tell us which one it is.
775, the Renton Burger King.
Okay. So what are you going to do? What's the plan here? You're just waiting in line now? Are you waiting in line doing the show?
Yeah, but I realized the thing that's more embarrassing than doing an update from the bathroom of a Burger King is standing near people waiting in line for a Burger King bathroom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Being one third of a podcast, so I'll slowly back away from the mic for another, I don't know, probably 1.5 minutes. However,
wait, let me ask you. Let me just ask you one question here. It won't sound like you're podcasting, okay? This is just you talking to a buddy on the, maybe even just you talking to your brother on the phone. Have you ever been to any of these places? Marysville, Washington, Davidson, North Carolina, Fairfax, Virginia,
yes.
Farmington, Michigan,
no.
or Chicago, Illinois?
Yes. I'll tell you one dazzling deed about each place.
Okay.
Marysville is the gateway to the Tulalip Casino, mm-hmm. One of Washington's finest and most beautifully appointed casinos,
okay.
where they do have roulette, where I always play the same four numbers, 7, 14, 23, and 35. Farmington, Michigan is where my friend Peter's ex-wife, Joan Mueller, is from.
By the way, try those numbers on the bathroom door. Those also might work.
What are the other cities?
Fairfax, Virginia.
Okay. Fairfax, Virginia. I've been there. That's in north. That's in northern Virginia. Those are the sort of districts that really kind of indicate usually, because Virginia is traditionally a red state, but the northern part of Virginia, because a lot of government employees, it's kind of bluish, and where the red and the blue of Virginia intersect is usually an indication of like the health of the Republican Party and also the Democratic Party.
Hey.
And then Davidson, I believe that's where Davidson College is, which is where Stephon Curry went. Very unheralded as a high schooler, and even as a college player, they didn't think he was legit because he was doing all this scoring at Davidson. But now we know he was, in fact, legit.
And, of course, that is North Carolina, which, by the way, I meant to say this before, man, you know, keeping an eye on the news and everything. I know North Carolina is getting hit hard right now by the hurricane. So, as you said the other day, Luke, I hope all of our listeners in that area are staying safe. Like, it's scary.
Yeah.
It's really scary.
Yeah, our guitar player from the Livewire House Band, the door's opening. I'm going to have to go in here in a second.
Okay.
The Livewire House Band guitar player, he's from the Carolinas, and he was texting with his dad during our show last night, and his dad was like, I got a generator, I got a bunch of Jack Daniels, he was listing all of his provisions, and he's like, I'm good for at least a week. Okay, I'm running in there, I'll check back with you guys in like a minute.
Okay, turn off your mic. Okay, I can probably do that over here too. Alright, but anyway, for realsies, Benjamin Quick, Alice Viemers and Kate and Gabe Clare, Kirsten Medhurst, Kathy Stieber, Sarah Golden, thank you so much for letting us do a show where we can podcast from a Burger King bathroom in Renton. Thank you, babies. Oh,
thank you, baby.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you, baby.
But everything's gonna be all right.
At a certain point, you just have to let a song ring out, right?
Oh, yeah, I mean, just love that silence after.
Would you like to be a radio DJ?
Oh, my God, I would.
Do you
love
fantasize
to.
About that? Because
oh,
you're so
me? Of course.
Into music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Think
about that all the time.
Now, you didn't really pursue it, though. You didn't, like, get a radio show in college?
No. UW's communication program and, like, their digital media programs are pretty weird, the way that they do them. It's mostly, like, written journalism.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a little
more
difficult.
Oh, yeah, UW doesn't... Does UW have, like, a college-run radio station? Yeah, I mean, obviously they have, you know... They have the license of KUOW and I think KEXP still, but I mean, do they have a student-run radio station?
Not that I had found.
Oh,
I mean,
that's
they
weird.
Might have some have one, you know, some dog talk or something like that. But I,
I have a show I would like to pitch. It's called Dog Talk, talking but, dogs.
But no, I'm
a couple
I'm
of
actually,
things on that. Can I throw in?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're back. You how, okay, everything yeah. good? You wash your hands?
Great, everything. I did, in okay. fact, and I wanted to. They don't have a like the only bathroom that doesn't have an automatic hand dryer. I was gonna like that was gonna be my re-entry point. I was gonna play the automatic hand dryer into the microphone.
Oh man!
And
you are
signal
just
my
a
return
wizard.
To the show.
Literally
There's
the only
well,
time you
it,
wish that there was a
yeah yeah precisely. There the UW did when I was there. I don't know if they still had it, but there was something called Rainy Dog Radio, which was. Which was
For, up
to
until
be,
recently, I know that that was a thing. When I was there, I inquired into it. They, I don't know, maybe I was just such an undesirable that they were like forcibly
no,
keeping
I
me away
it
from
kinda,
it.
I think it was a little bit sort of like on the ropes.
We can listen to it live now. It looks like there's a live stream. Can we play this? Oh, maybe. It looks like the website is still up, but you're right. It doesn't seem to be actually... It doesn't seem to actually be working. And also, the latest updates are from March and April of 2018. So it could have gone down that recently.
Hmm. I don't know. Obviously,
I never
I was
actually
not
knew where
it
was.
It.
You did or you did not?
I'm sorry. I'm making this hard from being down here in the Burger King parking lot. I was going to say, I heard about Rainy Dog when I was... It's working at KUOW, but I never knew physically where it was or, like, really what it... I think it was the ASUW, Associated Students of the University of Washington.
Sure.
It was sort of their thing. What I was going to say is Addie's actually interning at a cool community station in Portland called X-Ray Radio. And they have a morning show. And, like, Addie and I went last night after the library, went out and we got a little food. And this morning I got up bright and early. I was listening to the morning show on X-Ray Radio. And they did the credits of everyone who was there, and they didn't... mention Addy, and I was like, that's some bullshit. So I emailed Addy. I texted Addy. I was like, what are they doing? And she was like, oh, no, no, I didn't end up going in this morning. I was like, okay, fine. Like, now she's got, like, her dad, like, listening to the morning show to make sure she's getting her proper credit as the, like, news intern.
I wouldn't let her stop you, though, from writing an angry letter to the station, though. Like, sure. Even though she says it's all cool, it's probably not all cool, Luke, and I think that you
it
should...
can only help for you to intervene.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I'm looking at the clock, actually. I've been... I haven't been a very good... host here because I realize we're kind of running out of time. David's got to get out of here in
again I'm not worried about it. I am
David.
Yeah, I know. You're a great host. great driver of this show. Easy breezy.
Let's do it though.
Girl.
Let's do it.
All right. Yeah.
Song of the summer. It's time to make this happen. We don't have any great fanfare to get into this, but let's just set it up again. At first, there were 16
in the beginning.
So we are down to the final two songs, the final two contestants in the Song of the Summer contest. What are they again?
They were the song Happy Unhappy by The Beths, a group from New Zealand.
Yep.
And then also Crush by Tessa Violet. Both definitely from the get-go. The 10's favorites.
I'm wondering if it's the first time we've ever had, since we've been doing the bracket system, that we've had two kind of female-fronted or, female performers, women battling it out. I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't know.
Sorry, Elvis Costello. I guess women do have agency.
You know, that just demonstrates when you get, a youth person sort of doing the Song of the Summer. You're gonna get the wokeness,
Right. Right.
Those were the two songs matching off. From the numbers that I had, it was actually not as close as you would think.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Luke, do you have a guess as to who's going to win?
I am absolutely convinced that it could be either one of these songs. I feel like I like the Tessa Violet song a lot. I mean, I like both songs, but I feel like from the very first hearing of the Tessa Violet song, I've been like, that's it. That's the one. When you know, you know. And then I feel like the listeners really immediately had that sensation about The Beth.
Hmm.
Just seems like our kind of band, our listeners' kind of band. It's a sort of upbeat. They're from New Zealand, which is part of that region that we now almost exclusively cover as a show. and so I could really see either one winning. I can't make an educated guess here.
Well, I will say that I love both of these songs, and I'm very excited that these are the two finalists. If I had to guess, though, which one is going to win, I would probably guess Drake.
Mm.
Is it Drake? Did Drake win?
Wow. You're a magician.
No, I would say, I would guess it's Tessa Violet, but don't betray the answer with your eyes yet. Mm-hmm. Look away. David, look away from me. Mm-hmm. Are we ready for
I don't make eye contact very well anyway, so that's good.
You actually are good with eye contact. Should we do a drum roll? I'm going to play a 3-second drum roll.
Very good.
When the drum roll ends, you say the song, and then I will play it from here. Okay? Here it is.
With 61.41% of the vote, Happy Unhappy is the song of the summer.
Wow. Wow.
The crowd loves it. I am very surprised, but I'm very happy. I there was not a situation in which I wouldn't have been happy with these two, though.
Yeah, it was great. There were two winners, honestly. And that's the thing is, as with every year, there are so many songs off of the top 16, and even off of the larger list that of all the submissions that I listen to on a daily basis, and I put into my playlists, and I love to listen to. So 100% a successful Song of the Summer, as always.
Yeah, but actually better this year because you did it, and I'm not just saying that. Thank you so much for doing that.
Oh, thank you guys. This has been so, so fun.
Yeah. You know, I think I would have. I think I obviously was sort of rooting for Tessa Violet, but then when you said the name of the best song and that song started playing, I also was filled with happiness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a good outcome.
And
you know what I mean? Like, and the best.
Happy.
Well, there's that. I see what you did there.
Yeah, that's why I'm the ringleader of this this old competition.
Musical journey.
Mm-hmm.
My nickname in the Burger King bathroom is the ringleader. I forget to put that little paper thing down, and that's bad.
Okay, yeah.
The best are also coming to Seattle. Now, the question is, will any of the tens of listeners, will anyone go to their show and explain to them they won something called the TVTL Song of the Summer?
It's funny. I had listeners sending me Facebook messages telling me specifically, the best are coming to Seattle. You got to go see the best. Make sure to see the best.
And didn't Rolling Stone name them? Like, did they name this song or a different song of theirs the Song of the Summer?
I'm not sure. I didn't read the article because I don't.
Right.
I don't
well, really what did the pictures
I'm
look
kind
like?
Of illiterate. Yeah, yeah. But from what I gathered, it is this song. Because I think
it
is
okay.
the most popular song off the
so
album.
So do you think that they were kind of blasé about the fact that they're named Rolling Stone Song of the Summer, but will be very excited to be finding out that TBTL also has named them Song
I
of
mean,
the Summer?
Yeah, everyone knows Power Out. That's like, down there, TBTL is very, very...
Were people
very
saying
big.
That when you were, like, visiting the Shire and
yeah,
stuff?
Was
that kind of the common
like,
greeting?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh,
yeah,
it means hello and goodbye.
Yeah.
Power Out means hello and goodbye.
Nice.
All right. Well, I'm really psyched about that. That is great. I'm not psyched about the fact that my
Yay.
iTunes has completely crashed and it's not really helping things over here. I'm going to have to do a full computer restart.
If
everybody could just shut up. Everybody just shut up
Andrew.
While my computer does a restart.
I like that you've only spent the better part of 12 hours setting up your new computer.
Only to have my my regular iTunes just suddenly just stopped playing in the middle of a what I would describe as a pretty iTunes dependent segment.
Yeah, yeah.
The show,
but, oh man.
Anyway, while this is restarting, David, I'm looking at the clock. Mm-hmm. Should we maybe wrap things up with you here? You get on to work, and then maybe Luke and I'll do some emails and V-mails.
Yeah, boot me. Get me out of here.
Get out of here. I'm
Dig
pulling
it.
Out the long cane here, pulling you off. Thank you for real. I know I keep saying it. I really do not want you to think that I'm just saying it as a platitude. Like, thank you for doing Song of the Summer.
Of course.
Like, we have a great playlist, and it's been so much fun for me this year.
Right on. Yeah, it's been an absolute blast for me as well. And thank you, Kiki, for putting all that stuff together. And she's been incredible in her segments of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that Kiki had the idea to have people, like, fill out their own brackets and share
so
them.
Cool.
I honestly think this was a high point for it. So thanks to you both
really,
for doing
this
it.
This was a game changer for the rest of the Song of the Summers now.
Yeah.
It's set the tone. We're going to have the
we're
fill in brackets every single year now.
We're going to go back and restage each year's contest and with the new things like making your own bracket and having you do it and having Kiki do it.
Yeah, this
was
really the
so
2012
kind of...
Seahawks of that Super Bowl that Super Bowl team.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah, right. They don't
By
exist
the way, you
anymore.
Know what,
so.
You know what is actually really fun? I'll be honest with you. Watching Marshawn Lynch break like runs for touchdowns and Bruce Irvin create fumbles as Raiders. That is fun. Actually, no, it's the opposite of that. That's what I was thinking. Opposite of that.
The word painful? Is that the word you're looking for?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
More of that on Tuesday.
Oh,
no
man.
Point.
What a
Davey,
great,
thank
yeah,
you
what
so
a
much,
great
man.
Note. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys so much.
All right. See you later, David.
All right, man.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now. But have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon. All right, Luke. Well, I said we're going to do emails and V-mails, but you're standing in a parking lot in Renton.
Now I'm
staring at the.
Now I'm in a Nissan in a parking lot.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You're moving up. Moving on up. Maybe we should skip emails and V-mails for now and get out of here, start our weekends, and save these for Monday.
Yeah. Let's slide down that dinosaur. That dinosaur, yeah. Like Fred Flintstone.
Woo!
I started yawning. I started yawning in the middle of saying the word dinosaur, which is never a good sign.
We've had this tradition of playing a song of the summer that did not make the final cut. In this case, I guess there's only one. Should we give Tessa Violet her kind of final adieu? By the way, have you watched this video, the Tessa Violet video for Crush? She is cute as hell, isn't she? That video is so great, and it's also in a grocery store. I love grocery stores. Like, that video speaks to me so much.
Yes, I've watched the video like many, many times. I've listened to the song a lot of times since I learned about it, and about half of that has been watching the video, which is the sort of visual is the visual version of what the music is doing, and it's great.
I'm
a fan.
She just comes off it like every now and then you see a video and somehow, you know, it's just somebody kind of lip syncing and dancing around. Oh, sorry. I don't want to spoil it for people. But yeah, usually people are lip syncing in videos. But like sometimes it just seems like they're oozing with personality, right? Like personality is just like breaking through the screen sort of. And there's something about that video of hers that's just like she just comes off as so goddamn charming. I love it. So, all right, we'll go out with that. Am I forgetting anything? I feel like it's Friday. Did we do anything wrong? Are we just done now?
I think we're done.
Right.
And I don't think you forgot anything. I think we thank the donors of the day. We thank DFTB. We thank Kiki Lolo. I want to say thanks again to you and David for your patience over my travel woes today. And also the listeners, thank you for – it's like there's just nothing less interesting than somebody complaining about their flight delays. And yet it's, I would say, 60 to 70% of the show come this time of year. So watch this space. Anyway – well, thank you. Can I do the sign off from here?
Oh yeah, why don't you do that though?
But I don't know what the
let's keep our regular roles. Let's keep our regular roles because I don't. My brain can't flip like that right now.
We don't want to cross streams like in Ghostbusters,
right?
Things could get very bad.
Or like in a Burger King restroom. All right, last Burger King
that was another thing. One of the people asked me was, please don't cross streams.
Right.
I'm like, do you understand? There's a podcast that needs me right now. Anyway, all right. Well, listen, thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks for being a part of TBTL. This is, of course, going to be the end of our broadcast week. But we will be right back here on Monday, and I won't be in a parking lot.
Assume?
I'll be in – yeah, I mean, maybe a different parking lot just to mix it up. We'll be back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, thanks for listening. Go Mariners, go eat a bagel. And please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
I can't focus on what needs to get done. I'm on notice, hoping that you don't run. You think I'm tepid, but I'm misdiagnosed. 'Cause I'm a stalker, I seen all of your posts. And I'm just tryna play it cool now. But that's not what I wanna do now. And I'm not tryna be with you now, you know. You make it difficult to not overthink. And when I'm with you, I turn all shades of pink. I wanna touch you, but don't wanna be weird. It's such a rush, I'm thinking, wish you were here. And I'm just tryna play it cool now. But that's not what I wanna do now. And I'm not tryna be with you now, you know. But I could be a crush, I could feel you for a rush, like hoping you text me so I could tell you I've been thinking about your touch, like touch, 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 touch. I could be a crush, 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 crush. I got a fascination with your presentation, making me feel like you're on my island, you're my permanent vacation. Touch, 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 touch. I could be a crush, 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 crush.
Sorry.
Fill my calendar with stuff I can do. Maybe if I'm busy, it could keep me from you.
Power out.